was one of the well, it was the driest September on record. It was warmer in a lot of states than the average, and we also saw some pretty large scale frost events. So it was pretty much the worst case scenario for the winter cereals in Australia.
Nick, what does that do for the crop forecast, all those figures that have been bandied around from the government and also in the private sector?
Yeah, so they've all had heavy cuts made to them. So ABARES will release their report in time, and they'll no doubt be cutting the Australian winter cropping size, and so will the USDA, the US-based Department of Agriculture. Privately, most guys for wheat are below 17 million tonne now. So through September, as you know, the warmer days and the frost and the no rain eventuated, everyone's production estimates started taking a slide.
Is there going to be enough grain produced in Western Australia and those parts of South Australia that can pull it off to fill the demand?
Yeah, so there will. You know, we will have an exportable surplus. So it's likely that we'll probably export to, you know, Indonesia and Southeast Asia and different places around about 8 million tonne. And on top of that, we'll also be doing WASA vessels and rail across to the East Coast. So there will be enough, but it'll be a mammoth logistics sort of process for the next 12 months to make sure that there's enough grain coming to the East Coast to satisfy the domestic demand.
There had been some speculation that Australia may need to import grain of some sort this year. I don't think that's happened since 2006. How likely do you think that is?
Yeah, look, I know a lot of guys are trying to, you know, the international prices are a lot lower than they are on the East Coast. So the financial incentive is certainly there to try and bring in Argentinian wheat and US corn and all the likes. Whether that happens, I'm not entirely sure. But if it was going to happen, this is certainly a year that's set up for it. But, you know, as I said, SA and WA will have enough to keep domestic demand satisfied in the next 12 months. If we go to another below average crop next year, then I think it's probably more of a question of when, not if, we start importing foreign or overseas feed grain.
Can we just continue the speculation a little bit? Can you tell me a little bit how the prices match up? For example, if Argentinian grain was to compete on the domestic, on the Australian market?
Oh, look, you're talking, without getting too specific or looking at the numbers, you're talking, you know, over $100 lower, easily over $100, $250 lower than current East Coast prices. So there's certainly enough margin there for importers to try and get it done, and the ports can take it. It's more of a question of our tight quarantine laws and biosecurity on whether the government will allow this sort of foreign grain to come in. So at this stage, applications have been made to do this, and they've been rejected. But again, whether that remains the case is yet to be seen.
And just to be clear, that would be grain for feeding livestock?
Yeah, it'd be grain for predominantly our livestock sector. So feedlots, you know, growers who need to keep sheep going, you know, the poultry guys, the pig guys, that sort of stuff. That's predominantly what the demand or where the demand is coming from.
What's the sense amongst the industry now? I think last time we spoke, you used the term uncharted waters. This is presumably just going from bad to worse.
Yeah, so this will likely be the first year that New South Wales will actually import more wheat than it grows. Well, certainly in a very, very long time. So again, we are still in uncharted waters. Our production is likely to be above droughts that we saw 12 years ago, but that's only because WA is having an above average year. So the East Coast is certainly at a point now where it's never been before. So the next 12 months will be interesting, to say the least.